On a quiet afternoon in North Philadelphia this past summer, police approached a house on North 15th Street to serve a warrant. Then this happened.
Car stand by, car stand by. 3700 North 15th Street, shots fired at police.
Shots fired at police and shots fired.
The shootout that followed lasted into the evening, leaving a neighborhood in shock and a row of houses riddled with bullets. Now, almost exactly 3 months later, the block is getting some unexpected help with repairs from the city.
This is actually the first time that's ever happened.
So why did Philadelphia go to such lengths to patch things up? I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. This is The Why. Layla A. Jones is a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn. Layla, remind me what happened on August 14th.
So it's about 4:30 in the afternoon, and narcotics officers are serving a warrant on the 3700 block of North 15th Street. Quickly, things get pretty out of control.
Philadelphia police officers diving for cover behind cars parked there on the street, and we could see the bullets ricocheting off the pavement as they took cover.
We're still not exactly sure what happened, but we know that two police officers ended up trapped inside the home, along with three civilians. They were inside the home where the shooter, Maurice Hill, was firing at police. He was firing using an AR-15 rifle, which is a semi-automatic assault-style weapon. There are people who are getting off of work. One of those people is Kenneth Foreman.
I was just coming down the street when it started.
He's walking down the street and he sees more police officers, he says, than he's ever seen in his whole life.
Then the shooting started.
So there's a shooter in the home near where they're serving the warrant, and he begins firing at police officers.
When this thing just happened, it was like I'm in hell. Because I never see something like this before. I never hear so much gunfire before. I never see so much police one place before.
And when he notices what's going on, that there is a man firing at police and that police are firing back, he stands in his door and tries to take pictures of what's happening outside. When the police see him, they yell at him to go inside.
And they said, get inside, close the door.
He said that as soon as he ran into his house, bullets began flying through his home.
Shots started to come through the window like, I can't tell you, it was terrible. 14 bullets hit this. All I could stand there and just pray.
And while all this is going on, there's a daycare at the corner of the block that has about 100 children who are now sheltered in place.
Precious Babies Learning Academy, that's the name of it, at 15th and Erie. A woman we spoke to in the daycare said her message to parents, and this is important, is to not come to the daycare right now, because obviously it's a shelter-in-place situation. When it is safe to pick up your children, you will know that.
The standoff lasted for more than 7 hours, and eventually the shooter, Maurice Hill, does surrender to police. Before that happens, though, 9 officers were injured, and 6 of those officers were shot. But miraculously, nobody was killed. Still, though, the neighborhood endured a lot of trauma in that incident.
Layla, would you say this is a violent neighborhood generally?
No, actually, this is a neighborhood that has a relatively low crime rate, especially compared to the highly trafficked area of Broad and Erie, where it's near. So Broad and Erie is the business corridor. A lot of people are always walking back and forth, and it has pretty high rates of crime. But the 3700 block of North 15th Street where this happened does not.
We're not having those shootouts and killings and stuff every other day, every week. So we're good. People over here, we live well.
So I talked to Cynthia Muse about this. She's the block captain in the area. Other neighbors talk about how tight-knit the community is and how it's really a loving block. Kenneth talked about that a lot as well.
It was a good block. This was a peaceful block, and everybody was happy. The kids played the basketball and the court, and everything was nice.
And the alleged shooter, Maurice Hill, was he a part of this tight-knit community?
No, he actually wasn't. A lot of the neighbors talk about how they didn't know who he was. He had moved into a home that is rented out as apartments across the street from where Kenneth Foreman lives. And neighbors said he had only been there for about 2 weeks or so when this whole situation went down.
So immediately after the shooting, like that first period afterward, how did the community cope?
In the time after the shooting, it was a slow process of healing. There had been a lot of trauma because of the shooting. There were neighbors who had been trapped in their houses for several hours or couldn't get back. So it's been a long process. But in the month after the shooting, the block actually had a block party. It was organized by Cynthia and the Police Athletic League.
Let's try to get these kids happy again. Let's give them something they can look, you know. So that's what we did.
And that was kind of the first time that neighbors were able to go back outside and felt comfortable again enjoying their neighborhoods following that shooting.
It was outstanding. Wasn't the food good? Oh, my goodness. So, yeah.
You said the Police Athletic League were involved. So police have been intentionally reaching out to the community?
Eventually they did, but initially neighbors were kept in the dark by the police about how their properties would be repaired that were damaged during the shooting. But since then, there has been an increased police presence that neighbors did notice. The acting police commissioner, Christine Coulter, said that the steps that they're taking in the neighborhood are working to mend relationships.
You know, it's clearly that step in the right direction that our cops are engaging with the community. They're seeing us as a partner and through a tragedy trying to create, you know, a lasting bond and a friendship and knowing that both of us, the residents and the cops, are committed to the safety of this block.
Layla, what was that hammering sound?
That's the sound of the city repairing the damage. They actually went to extraordinary lengths to do that.
More on that when we come back. This is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. I'm talking with Layla A. Jones, reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn, about neighborhood recovery 3 months after a police standoff and shooting in North Philadelphia. So you mentioned some people had physical damage to their homes from the shooting. Like Kenneth said that 14 bullets went through his window, right?
Yes, there were several homes that were damaged in the shooting. More than 100 rounds were fired, so a lot of those ended up hitting different properties, like Kenneth.
Every time I drive up and to go in the house and look at the bullet hole, I'm upset.
And it was a constant reminder for Kenneth walking into his home of what had happened and what he had experienced during the shooting.
So who pays for those repairs?
Ordinarily, there wouldn't necessarily be a route to have those repairs done for free.
So property owners would just have to do it. They don't just have to figure out how to do it.
Usually, yes. Neighbors in this case were told to file a claim with the Office of Risk Management. That's a city office that would have assessed whether or not the city was at fault for this shooting. And if the city was found to be liable, then the houses would have been repaired for free. Instead of that, though, Mayor Kinney reached out to the building trades, District Council 21, to try to see if they would repair the homes for free, if they would volunteer their members to repair the houses. And they did agree to do that. Mm. So these homeowners were able to get their houses repaired for free. They were extremely happy. I had been on the block several times before, and this was the first time that I could see people were physically and visibly joyful. Kenneth Foreman talked about how excited he was.
I feel like it's a Christmas here. It's Christmas today.
And his wife also joined him to gush about her new windows and the paint job that the District Council 21 had done on the facade of her house.
Not only are they repainting, they're using the exact color that we use, so it looks the same. It's perfect. It's beautiful. I love it. I'm hyped.
Also that day, neighbors were outside enjoying coffee. The trays brought coffee and pretzels for neighbors to enjoy throughout the day. They also brought pizza and fed the daycare center down at the end of the block.
So the fact that the city organized this deal with the building trades and that the building trades volunteered their time and made a whole event of fixing up this block, is this whole situation unusual?
This is actually the first time that's ever happened. So Mayor Kinney, the deputy mayor for Labor, Rich Laser, and representatives from the trades have no recollection of this ever occurring before. So this is definitely an unprecedented occurrence.
So why did they do it?
Well, I think a big point is that there's no way for us to really know. We still don't know what happened here. When the warrant was served, it was on a block full of people in the middle of the day. So neighbors are speculating that the police may have botched the warrant. They feel like something might have gone wrong for this to have escalated so quickly and gotten so out of control. So a lot of people are saying, including Cynthia, the block captain, that this could be a way for the city to take responsibility for something that may or may not have gone wrong.
So I think in some respects, the city feels kind of guilty, but just the way it all went down, it should have been processed a little better. So to help ease that, maybe that's why they're helping out.
What does the city say about whether they were at fault in any of this? Like, did they address that concern from neighbors?
I did ask them that, and the city won't comment. They just say that there's an ongoing investigation. But also, they don't have to ever tell us what really happened because they've patched up the problem, really, which is literally the bullet holes in people's houses.
So the city doesn't usually repair bullet holes like this. But now that they've done it, is there a plan to maybe do it more often, like create a program or expand it?
That's unclear at this time. I did talk to Mayor Kinney about that, and he said he would be willing to look into whether or not the trades would repair homes that have been damaged by gun violence.
At this point, I don't know of any particular program that's existing, but we could look at it. Okay, thank you.
But in a city like Philadelphia, we're in a gun violence crisis. There have already been more than 1,200 shootings this year. For example, about a month after this standoff,
in broad daylight in Philadelphia's Strawberry Mansion section,
a bullet went through the home of a mother, a 19-year-old mother and her child, and they were injured.
Police say neither the mom or child was shot, but they were hurt, possibly from flying debris.
It went through the door, but there's been no conversation or follow-up as to whether or not that house would be repaired for free.
So this whole case does kind of bring up this bigger question of who gets help and why they get help, right?
Yes, it does, because properties being damaged by bullets isn't unusual in the city, but because this was an unusual story and the city was involved, it was treated differently.
Thanks, Layla.
Thank you.
Layla A. Jones is a reporter for WHYY's Billy Penn. The Y is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, with editorial direction from Katie Culinary. We had editing help on this episode from Danya Henninger. Our intern is Jade Chandler. Send a tweet at Shai Ben-Yaakov. See you tomorrow.